Hello and welcome to our site. Today in Cape Town, South Africa, like churches around the world, we are celebrating what is called Palm Sunday in our church calendar. It's the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. There was great excitement. There was great expectation of the coming Messiah that the Hebrew prophets had spoken about for centuries. And so, energy filled the air as this wonderful event took place in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago. I hope you have your Bible handy, and if you do, we're going to take a few readings from the Psalms and then from the prophecy of Zechariah and then move to Luke's Gospel in the New Testament. So I'll lead you in those as we go along. But open your Bible, if you have it with you, to the middle of your Bible and to the wonderful book of Psalms. As you know, I'm sure, if you read your Bible and know your Bible, Psalm 22 is a psalm about the suffering Messiah. And then Psalm 23 is the shepherd Messiah, the most popular of all the psalms, the Lord's my shepherd. And then in Psalm 24, so fitting for Palm Sunday, is the psalm about the sovereign Messiah. And so today we celebrate the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read to you from Psalm 24, first of all. Hope you've got it there in your Bible or on your device. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol, or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Turn to Psalm 118, and in that particular psalm, we read in verse 22, the story of Jesus. The stone the builders rejected, has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna! O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession. What a wonderful description of Palm Sunday, written 1,000 years before, by the way. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will praise you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then, some centuries later, the Hebrew prophet Zechariah, prophesying of this coming king to Zion, says in Zechariah chapter 9, if you have it in your Bible, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And now turn to Luke chapter 19, where these prophecies are exactly, precisely, to the detail, fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ in what we call his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. Remember, this takes place just a week before he is crucified. After Jesus had been teaching, walking towards Jerusalem, as he appeared, approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent went ahead and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. The other Gospels, too, mention the fact that people cut down boughs and palm branches and whatever they could find. Can you imagine the scene? There's literally thousands of people whose hearts are filled with messianic expectation, are wanting to greet the one who is Israel's king. Verse 37 of Luke 19, when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out." Just so far, and may God add his blessing to our meditation as we celebrate the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. 30 years ago, Michael Cole wrote, and I quote, "If I am asked what is the greatest need of the church throughout the world today, I would answer without doubt that it is to realize afresh the meaning of the lordship or the kingship of Jesus for his church. The greatest need is not more exciting worship, more faithful giving, more dedicated leadership, more missionary zeal, more evangelistic outreach, better theological training, greater schemes for church unity, or more social action. All of these are needed. All of these are good. But they will all flow naturally when the church allows Jesus his rightful place. All the blessings of God will flow naturally when the church allows Jesus his rightful place as King, as sole head of the church, as Lord of all. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, points out that the Lord Jesus, who eternally is God, became man, took upon himself the form of a servant, and went to death in obedience, even death on a cross. Wherefore God has exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place, and given him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11. And so, dear friends, Palm Sunday is a fitting day to announce, to declare that Jesus Christ is King, unrivaled King, sole King, the only King, head of the church, which he has redeemed by his blood. And I believe Jesus is wanting his throne back again from the church around the world today. I want to remind you this morning, very briefly, that the only gospel, the only good news there is the gospel of the kingdom, and Jesus is its only King. The lordship, the kingship of Jesus is the theme of both testaments, the theme of the New Testament. Paul reminds the Ephesian church that God has raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under Jesus' feet, and appointed him, and him alone, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Ephesians 1:19-23. The Apostle Paul writes to the believers at Colossae in the first century and reminds them that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of God. The writer of the Hebrews letter says exactly the same thing about the Lord Jesus. He is head of the body, the church. The headship of the Lord Jesus, his kingship, is based on the revelation given to us in Holy Scripture. It is based on the fact that he has redeemed us through his death on the cross that first Easter. He died on the cross and was raised from the dead on the first day of the week, and he ascended back to the right hand of the Father 40 days later. The kingship of Jesus ought to be experienced in our relationship, personally and corporately, as members of the body of Christ and as the congregation of the body of Christ. We have to ask this Palm Sunday, is Jesus King of your life? Is Jesus on the throne of your life? Does he reign unrivaled in your life? And of course, his kingship is seen in the titles and names that he bears. In John's Gospel, where John, writing about 30 years after the other Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that we call the Synoptic writers because they see together and often their Gospels are verse for verse the same. But the Apostle John writes towards the end of the first century and treats the Gospel material differently. He takes signs, as he calls them, miracles that point to who Jesus really is. And he gives us these wonderful statements of Jesus that link up with the revelation of God himself in Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 14, where God said to Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am, Yahweh, evermore shall be. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the genuine vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the door, and if anyone enters in by me, he shall be saved. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he die, shall live again, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus is the great I am, and an exhaustive study of the Bible will reveal that Jesus is given more than 150 names and titles as the second person of the Trinity. I mean, here are just a few. He's the last or the second Adam. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the author of our salvation. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the cornerstone. He's the creator. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. He's the Anointed One. He's the Heir of all things. He's the Apostle and High Priest of our faith. He's the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, the kingship of Jesus is established by both his nature, who he is, and his name, and the power and authority that he possesses. And we're able to identify ourselves as Christians with that name. And we're able to draw from the resources of heaven through that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. This is his world. It doesn't belong to anybody on earth. It is God's world. He made it. And Jesus Christ is King. On one occasion, the famed preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon visited an elderly and poverty-stricken woman who belonged to his congregation. She'd once been a maid in a very wealthy home, and he noticed a framed and faded document on her wall in a dimly lit room where she lay. On examining it closer, he found he was holding in his hand a substantial bequest given to the woman by her former mistress. The old lady had never understood her right to act on this bequest. Had she done so, it would have transformed her life. There was no need to live in poverty. All these years, she could have been living in plenty. What a sad thing when we as Christians are living in such a way that we're like spiritual paupers, when we've been raised up and made to sit with Christ, reign with him in this age of grace, and draw on the resources of heaven. Friend, there's no need for any Christian, there's no need for any church to live in spiritual poverty, because Jesus, our head, is King, Lord of all. God has bestowed upon Jesus honor, glory, and power, riches and blessing untold, seated him at his own right hand in heaven. And now all this honor and glory and authority and power is vested in the name of Jesus, and this name is given to us to use as we draw down on the bank of heaven, as it were. In the name of Jesus, the Lord and King, the members of the early church boldly and powerfully proclaimed the good news about Jesus, the good news of salvation, that this King who rode into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is the one who is able to forgive our sins and restore our broken relationship to God. In the name of Jesus, the early Christ followers pulled down enemy strongholds, prison gates opened, iron gates yielded. They prayed thousands of people into the kingdom of God, and for the sake of that name, they gladly suffered persecution and loss. Friends, the starting point for any church that wants to grow its membership and evangelize its world is to acknowledge the kingship of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit cannot empower any believer or any church that is not willing to allow Jesus to be King, to be Lord of all. His kingship is the theme of the New Testament. It's seen in the titles and names that he bears. And of course, it was a major doctrine in the Old Covenant. The Old Testament, when Jesus joined the two dejected disciples on the road to Emmaus on that first Easter Sunday evening, he had to rebuke them for being so slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself, Luke 24:26-27. You see, the Book of the Covenant, the Old Testament as we call it, revealed Jesus' holy character. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized his holy presence with his people. The blood of the covenant foreshadowed his one perfect sacrifice for sins, which was to be offered up on that first Good Friday, that first Easter. Jesus is the Lamb of God foreshadowed in Abram's offering up of his son Isaac. He is foreshadowed in the lamb eaten at the Passover, at the Exodus occasion, God's mighty deliverance of his people in bondage from Egypt, freeing them to march to the promised land. The Lamb of God is described in detail in the offerings mentioned in the book of Leviticus, prophesied by Isaiah, heralded then by the last of the Old Testament prophets, who is also the first of the New Testament prophets, John the Baptizer, the herald of Jesus, proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Yes, this Jesus, whom we celebrate on Palm Sunday, is the servant Messiah, mentioned in Isaiah chapter 53. When Philip the evangel explained that to the Ethiopian chancellor on the road to Gaza, he at once declared his faith in the lordship of Jesus. Repenting of his sin, placing his trust in Jesus, who died and rose again for his salvation, the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized by Philip, publicly declaring his surrender to Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yes, he is the servant Messiah, and he is the shepherd king of the Psalms and the prophets. We sometimes forget that the Bible is not a Western or an Eastern book. It's very familiar to a Middle Eastern or Eastern mindset. Frequently in the ancient Middle Eastern and Eastern countries, the shepherd both kept the sheep and ruled over the people. Sadly, many of Israel's shepherds were false and needed to be rebuked by God. But God said he himself would be the shepherd of his people, and Jesus is he. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep that first Easter, and he is the great shepherd who is brought back from the dead, and he is the chief shepherd who will come again one day to reward his faithful servants. Until then, he works in our lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. He is doing that today. He's doing that right now in your heart as you listen to his word. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead, is that self-effacing person of the Godhead who turns our gaze upon the Lord Jesus on this Palm Sunday. The Holy Spirit points the way to Jesus as King, Lord and God, Savior, Redeemer and Friend. Oh, I hope you know him personally, and can celebrate his kingship in your life today. No wonder Thomas, the doubting disciple, after the resurrection of Jesus and his resurrection appearance to Thomas and the others, Thomas, when he recognized who Jesus was, fell down at his feet exclaiming, "My Lord and my God," a telling statement from the lips of a Jewish man in the first century. Jesus, my Lord and my God. On Palm Sunday, as Jesus rode towards Jerusalem on the road that goes down from the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, hundreds of children, waving their palm branches, strewing their outer garments on the road that Jesus might ride over them as they acknowledged his kingship. They cried out in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord save, blessed is the King. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." As I close out our little Palm Sunday sermon, there are three verses I'd like to leave with you in closing. The first verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. It teaches us that it is impossible to know the kingship of Jesus in your personal experience without the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of our sinfulness, of our broken relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus to us as a Savior perfectly suited to our need, the one who died on the cross and was raised again that we might be forgiven, saved eternally. And so, becoming a Christ follower demands and requires a divine introduction, if you like, a divine intervention. No one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except through the Holy Spirit, says the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. No one can say, "Jesus is my King, is my Lord," unless the Holy Spirit of God has wrought that miracle of new birth, where we have died to the old life and now live a new life in fellowship with Jesus. Without the third person, we cannot know the second person of the Godhead. No one can say Jesus is Lord today or on any day except through the gracious ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He is at work in your life now. Will you let him enthrone Jesus as Lord of your life? The second verse I want to leave with you is Romans 10:9. It's a favorite verse of mine, as the old chorus used to go. Demands a personal confession. If we know Jesus, we have to declare his sovereignty, his kingship, his lordship in our lives, And we do that through baptism, obeying his command to be immersed in water, identifying ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and declaring that he alone is Lord and King of our lives. Romans 10:9 tells us that knowing Jesus means openly confessing him as Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Friend, if we're not prepared to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, Redeemer and King, we cannot be true Christ followers. He is Lord. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a blessing to have the opportunity to do that now. The third verse that I leave with you shows that not only does becoming a Christian mean a divine introduction or intervention through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, who convicts us, opens our eyes to the truth in Jesus, and brings us new birth into the family of God. Not only does it demand a personal confession that we openly and publicly declare Jesus as our risen Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and King, but it results in deliverance from prison, the prison of our self-centeredness, the prison of our old nature, the prison of a life where we are in bondage to self-centeredness and sin. Becoming a Christian means a glorious deliverance, a great salvation. Hosanna, they cried, Lord, save. Our third text is 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it teaches that the kingship of Jesus, the lordship of Jesus Christ, is essential to liberty, to freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Holy Spirit right now wants to make Jesus Lord of your life and of mine. And when Jesus is Lord, through the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives, then the result is freedom, liberty, freedom from the awful prison and bondage of self-centeredness and sin. Lift up your heads to the coming King. Bow before him and adore him. Sing. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this Palm Sunday morning we can bow together in worship and give you the glory that is due to your name. Thank you for revealing to us through your Spirit and through your Word that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we pray that you would help us to be wholly yielded to his Lordship in our lives today and every day, until we see him face to face. Thank you for the gift and ministry of your Holy Spirit, who not only opens the eyes of our heart to the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done, but enables us through a new spiritual birth as we put our trust in Christ to live a brand new life where Jesus is King, Lord of all. Thank you that we are privileged as those who are raised up with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to be able to live victoriously and to draw on the very resources of heaven. Thank you that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so on this Palm Sunday we pray, reign, King Jesus, reign. We pray in the words of the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, may your name be hallowed today, Father. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us from all evil, for yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.